Hello and welcome back to hour two of the Fern podcast on the Radio St. Pete Network. On the first hour, we touched on a little bit of NFL talk, all that's with the Teddy Bridgewater, New York Jets, Sam Darnold debate going on. And I went in briefly about the Washington Redskins, little Patriots talk, the Eagles talk, all that stuff, you know, and how the Nick Foles injury could impact the Eagles going forward, depending on Wentz's health, Carson Wentz's health and all that stuff. So besides that, the rest of that hour was mostly just diving in about the first two rounds of fantasy football strategy and running back strategy as a whole. I'm probably not going to touch on running backs the rest of the day. So that leaves us at the quarterback position. And I wouldn't say it's a highly debated topic, but I'm under the impression that you should not draft a quarterback until round. I usually wait until I have my complete starting. I wait until at least round six, maybe even round seven or eight, because after round seven and eight, because there's so many good quarterbacks this around this day. I mean, we'll just go through them and I'll and just give you stuff like that. But you look at the top, Aaron Rodgers, year in, year out, when he's healthy, he's going to give you 40 touchdowns, single digits interceptions, and plenty of yards. Brady, same exact thing. And I happen to like Brady over Rodgers this year. I think Rodgers is the more talented quarterback and arm talent, but I just think Brady, I mean, he went yesterday in that preseason game. I don't even know if Gronk played. Let me check real quick. Preseason. Box score. Brady went 19 for 26, 172 yards and two touchdowns. Gronk did not get a target. James White, six catches, 61 yards. Talked about him. He's a player to own. I mean, definitely get him. Cordell Patterson, 4 for 51 and a touchdown. He's there. Edelman played, 4 for 26. He's not going to be there for the first four games. Chris Hogan, 5 for 25 and a touchdown. Gronk didn't play, and he still carved up. I mean, it's preseason, obviously, but he still put up 19 for 26, 172. And I just think this is going to be, I dogged Nate Sudfeld a little bit earlier, and he had 22 for 39, 312, and three touchdowns. So I guess that's not bad. But, I mean, did the Eagles' whole defense play? Give or take a couple. Yeah, I mean, they played the starters for a little bit, and Brady carved them up. And like I said, I think this is a strictly Brady pass-heavy offense this year. I don't know if they – I think if Michelle's healthy and Burkhead are healthy, I think they're going to run the ball. But I don't think the balance is going to be there enough for this offense to – be able to be a balanced offense. I think this is a Brady year, and I think those two are the top two people, but they're not where it depends how your draft goes. If quarterbacks start flying, take advantage of that and just pick up with the pieces of all of the skilled players available. Because it's good to have depth, because in case you get a player injured, you have a replacement, and you can leverage some of those players to improve your roster later on in the year. And I'm looking at this, and, you know, Phillip Rivers is outside the top 15 for a lot of people's rankings. Mariota is outside of it. Alex Smith is outside of it. You know, there's just a lot of Tyrod Taylor's outside of it. And I know I look at that, and Cam Newton's outside the top five, which is that's just imbecile in my mind. And I guess CBS values passing yards a lot more, which could be a thing. But like for standard scoring, passing yards aren't a big deal, and rushing quarterbacks still are prevalent, which is why a quarterback like Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson and Cam Newton should be valued a lot higher. But if you have Tyrod Taylor outside your top 20 as your quarterback rankings list, that's pretty. I need some evaluation. He's the bona fide starter. He has talent, the most talent around him that he's had in his career, and an offensive coordinator who knows what the heck he's doing and who's going to put him in a position to succeed. So I'm looking at that, and this is my reasoning. So you start looking at this quarterback list, and you're like, you know, Rodgers, Brady, Watson, Andrew Luck, Breeze, Newton, Russell Wilson, Big Ben. These are all, that's eight deep. You only, players, you should only have two quarterbacks on your roster, and if you have more than two, then you need to reevaluate your draft strategy. So it doesn't make sense to have, what I like to do for a quarterback is I like to get one bona fide starter. This is big. Look at your bye week. I don't really look at the bye weeks for when I draft the teams. I'm just like, you know, I can deal with that later on in the season. But for a quarterback, draft the quarterback you want for the whole season. So say I've drafted Russell Wilson the past 2 years. So say I draft Russell Wilson. He has bye week 7. So I know for that 1 week, I need a quarterback. Go to the schedule. This is the only time I'd schedule watch. Go to the schedule. You look around and you see not a great quarterback. You don't want to reach because you don't want to have that dilemma where you're trying to choose. It's a good dilemma. I guess it's a good dilemma, but from personal experience, it's not fun having to choose between two quarterbacks every single week. So I'm looking at this and I see the Rams are playing the 49ers. Draft Jared Goff later in the draft. So you have a sub for Russell Wilson because he's playing at 49ers. We know how good their defense is. And we know Goff is a safe bet. He's not going to get the passing yards. He's going to get the touchdowns, and he's going to have a lot of schematic stuff done for him. Or if you're interested in that, just let the Redskins play the Cowboys. Get Smith or Dak. You know, that's just smart. That just makes a lot of sense to do. The Browns play the Bucks. Draft Jameis or Tyrod. There you go. You have two options just like that. Yeah. And for another example, let's say you have Aaron Rodgers this week. So you reach for Brady, which I'm actually okay with reaching for Brady in the top five or six in round five, because I think he's going to be that great. Actually, in one of my drafts, I 100% plan on just going full Patriots and drafting in a PPR league. Brady, James White, Gronk, and Chris Hogan, and just throwing it out there. Because I'm that in. I don't know if the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. I don't know what they're going to do, but I know in the regular season, this team is going to be throwing the ball, and they're going to be throwing the ball often. So, let me look at this week 11. Packers, Seahawks, no. Titans, Colts, no. Bucks, Giants. Eli against the Bucks defense, there. One right there. Saints, Eagles, Panthers, Lions, Cowboys, Falcons. Flacco against the Bengals. There you go. Lamar Jackson versus the Bengals. Whoever it is, that's a smart move. Texans, Redskins. I don't know. Alex Smith. That Texas D-line could be good. Derek Carr's falling against, Cardinals versus Raiders. Sam Bradford versus Oakland. Money. That's a perfect matchup to have. These are all options that are in Rams versus Chiefs again. If you want Goff again, Goff has two pretty, on a Monday night, Goff has two solid options for fantasy like that. So, do not reach. My two rules are, do not reach for a quarterback, wait late, and line up your backup, your one backup. I'll repeat that. One backup. With a suitable bye week matchup. So, let's get into the quarterback rankings a little bit. So, Rodgers, Brady, Rodgers, however you want to talk about it. Everything's fine with me. After that, I go Cam Newton. You know, maybe not in my main league, we value passing yards a little too much. I touched on this earlier. You get 300 passing yards, 350 passing yards, and 400 passing yards. You get an extra 20 points if you get to that 400-yard plateau. And we do 20 passing yards per throw. So I guess quarterbacks are they're overvalued in this sense. But rushing yards are still so important, especially for a quarterback. Cam Newton was the top three. I think I read somewhere he was top three or number one quarterback overall in fantasy scoring. Last year, a down year, with no help on offense, no running game. It was Cam Newton still the top three quarterback because he runs the ball so much and so efficiently. No, Russell Wilson was number one. So Cam Newton is probably three. There you go. Russell Wilson, number four. He was the best football player last year. With what he did with that terrible offensive line, the lack of a run game with Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham, he was amazing. I had him in a lot of leagues. He led me to a lot of victories. When he's rolling, there's no one more fun to watch the quarterback position than Russell Wilson. After that, see, those are the two main scramble quarterbacks in the top 10. Deshaun Watson's number three, and he's number three in a lot of boards for what he did last year. Is there going to be some regression? I think so. And that injury, I know it's different. I know he's going to be fine, but as someone who relies so much on his legs, I think I'm cautious picking Deshaun Watson ahead of Drew Brees, of Andrew Luck. I'd have him at seven. I'd have him at six. After Luck, after at seven. After Luck, who's healthy. Touched on this with Hilton. If Andrew Luck's healthy, he's going to throw for over 4,000 yards. He's going to give you about 300, 400 rushing yards. And he is going to be a top five fantasy quarterback. That's just what he does when he's healthy. He has Frank Reich as his offensive coordinator, as head coach now. They're getting the ball out of his hands quickly, which is in that short passing game is going to open up the deep ball to T.Y. Because if they're just pounding you with Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, you know, these players in the slot, I honestly don't even know who the other receivers are after T.Y. Hilton, which is scary to think about. But you're just like, just constantly just going into the short game and just beating them up like that, you know, T.Y. is going to get open. And they still don't have a running game. Their O-line's improving with Quentin Nelson and Ryan Kelly at the center position. So their O-line's improving. And if Luck has time, he's going to carve you apart. If we haven't seen him make the deep throw in a game yet, maybe we'll see it in the preseason action this weekend. But, I mean, it's Luck. And Breeze, who didn't have the touchdowns last year because they were a run-centric offense, there's going to be a touchdown progression. Same thing with Michael Thomas. There's going to be a touchdown upheaval. He's going to have a better tight end than Benjamin Watson. Everything is there for Breeze to take a step forward in fantasy from last year. And he's safe. Every week you can go out there, no matter of the opponent, you know he's going to get his yards, and you know he's going to get at least a touchdown or two. And on top of that, they're crazy efficient and crazy good in that Superdome, or in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So you have he's playing half of his games in turf, weather's not affected, and you know that offense is going to be clicking. So that's a safer pick than Deshaun Watson, who was phenomenal in those games, and he tore his ACL in practice. In that 6-game sample size, he was great, and he was. He honestly had one of the best 6-game stretches ever, not even just to open a career, but ever. But I don't know. I do not know. I would just look elsewhere. I don't know how that offensive line's going to look. Lamar Miller's lost weight, so he's going to be better, but I just don't know how that team's going to look. And I would rather stay away from that. After that, there's a lot of people who like Kirk Cousins, Big Ben, Roethlisberger, Matt Stafford, Jimmy Garoppolo, Pat Mahomes. Serviceable quarterbacks. I would take Stafford, and then I go Phillip Rivers, because I think Stafford's going to be, I mean, he puts up the yards every year. It's just a matter, and I think that having a running game is going to help him. He may not pass for as much, but having a running game and Kerryon Johnson, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. LeGarrette Blount's there. I don't think LeGarrette Blount's going to be heavily leaned on, maybe in the goal line situations, but Stafford's never had a ground game, and he's still been a very effective quarterback with teams knowing that they're just going to throw the ball every play. So you give him that factor that they are going to now have to keep honest with the ground game. That's going to open up the pass game a little bit. And he has a staple of weapons. Golden Tate is still great in the slot and after the catch. Marvin Jones has one of the best catch radiuses and all that. And from everything I'm hearing, the player to draft is Kenny Galladay, second-year player. So those are a bunch of weapons. Darren Fells is a tight end. Luke Wilson is a tight end. One of the best O-lines in football. I feel very comfortable drafting Stafford and putting him at my quarterback 8. And then I like consistency, and I know what I'm going to get from Philip Rivers every year. I know whether it's home, whether it's away, against the Broncos, against the Chiefs, against whoever. I know Philip Rivers is going to get me 220 yards at the minimum and two touchdown opportunities. He loses Hunter Henry for the season, but now he has another wide receiver threat coming in with Mike Williams. These are all things that I like if I'm a Philip Rivers fan. Above Kirk Cousins looked phenomenal in that opening in the one drive he played with the Vikings, and there's weapons galore there with Diggs and Adam Thielen and Dalvin Cook back and Kyle Rudolph. There's just top 15 players seemingly everywhere on that team. But their O-line's starting to get a little injured. I've never been to Kirk Cousins will throw for yards forever. I just don't want him on my team, if I'm being honest. I'm just not a Captain Kirk fan. For whatever that may be, that could be my blind, not hatred, even my blind, like I have blinders on, but I mean, there's quarterbacks I'd rather have than him. Ben Roethlisberger, I've written and talked about his road woes for years. They turned around a little bit last year, but I just am not. He's flaunted retirement the past couple years. And it's just something that I don't know. Obviously, the drive to play football is still there. He also came out and said he wants to play at least 40. So there's little conflicting reports coming from the man himself about how long he wants to play for. But I just don't. It's like the Julio Jones effect. He's too inconsistent for my liking. It's like one day he'll throw for 445 and four touchdowns. And the next he'll come out and throw for 180 and a touchdown and two picks. And I'm just like, I need stability. That's what I look for. I just like steady players. I know the point total I'm going to get every week around that. I know the minimum I'm going to get every week because my players are consistent. And that does not fit with Roethlisberger, and that does not fit with Cousins. I don't even know Vikings. This is crazy. I'm one of the only people that thinks this, but I don't even think the Vikings are going to make the playoffs this year because I just think their defense is crazy talented. Their offense is crazy talented. But what have we seen from Kirk Cousins to think he's going to run this offense better than Case Keenum? So, does he have a better arm than Case? Yes. I think that's going to affect Diggs. I mean, I think Diggs is going to be great. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes with that new coordinator and quarterback relationship. Because that's not usually, a lot of times doesn't click right away. But then it gets a little mumbo jumbo after that. Because it's like pick your poison. So, say those top 10 quarterbacks are just hinder gone. Or 10 or 11. Jimmy Garoppolo's still there. Everyone's new favorite quarterback. He has one of the best offensive minds in football calling plays in his ear. He has a growing abundance of receivers in Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis, Pierre Garçon, George Kittle at the tight end, Jerick McKinnon, who's not playing preseason. He's going to be effective. Bunch of options there. Oh, wow. Eli Manning is this... Yeah, people are this excited about Eli? Can I ask why? I need to listen to some people. I think Eli's going to do a little better, but a top 15 quarterback above Philip... People have... This CBS guy has him above Philip Rivers, Mariota, Alex Smith, Tyrod Taylor, Dak Prescott, we're going to get to those two quarterbacks in a little bit, too. It's just like Matt Ryan, number 23. I mean, these are... People are in their hot take bag today. Dang. So, sorry to get sidetracked, but yeah. Look at Eli. Yeah, he has Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, Odell, obviously. Saquon Barkley's back. A couple... upgraded a little bit at the O-line. But the Eli we've seen the past 2 years is not a viable fantasy option, to put it lightly. Yes, we know Pat Shurmur, their coach, is going to form an offense that's strong, I should say. Is that the right word? That is efficient the right word? Or is it going to put everyone in the best place to succeed? But I don't think he's a top 15 fantasy option. I wouldn't draft him, period. Especially above Philip Rivers, who has arguably better talent and a better system, playing in better weather in a weaker division. I mean, that's a weaker defensive division. That's interesting. But one player that I'm probably going to draft just because I love the guy so much is Pat Mahomes from Kansas City. And a lot of this has to do with, you know, the YouTube clips and all that stuff that we've seen from the guy. But mainly, it's the talent around him. I mentioned the three-headed monster at tailback with Spencer Ware, Kareem Hunt, Charcandrick West. Look at the tight end position. Travis Kelce's one of the top three tight ends in football. His receiving core has Chris Conley in the slot. Or not in the slot. Chris Conley's number three, who I like. And then you have Sammy Watkins coming in, who's running the full route tree for the first time in probably his career, and not just a deep threat slash decoy or a slant and go guy. And then Tyreek Hill. And now you got a gunslinger who's just going to let it loose with a coordinator who's going to let him let it loose with the team that believes in him because they traded Alex Smith. They actually kind of won that. I didn't say won the trade because they had Mahomes as a luxury. Not a luxury. They had Mahomes as a backup. But they got Kyle Fuller who's going to be a great slot corner for them. So looking at all that. And the point of fantasy football, besides winning, is to have fun. The Pat Mahomes experience is going to be as fun as any quarterback this year. I mentioned Russell Wilson's my favorite, and he's exciting to watch. Pat Mahomes has a stronger arm with better weapons around him and a better offensive coordinator and a play caller. And that's the thing. We know what Russell Wilson's going to do. We know he's going to do everything he can to keep that team afloat, and he has to do all these things to keep said team afloat. But we don't know what Pat Mahomes is going to do. All we know is that it's going to be entertaining as hell. And I'm here for that. I'm 100% all in with the Pat Mahomes experience. So even if he's your starting quarterback, you can draft him as like a safety net. Like him and Matt Ryan, that's a good combo. Matt Ryan is falling out of people's rankings. I think there's going to be he regressed severely under his first year with Steve Sarkisian. I think there's going to be a nice medium ground. I think he's a top 12 quarterback still. I think he's better than Jimmy. He still has Julio. They have Calvin Ridley, you know, Mohamed Sanu, the two-headed monster with Freeman and Tevin Coleman at the backfield. There's still a lot of talent on this team, and their offensive line's better than this is solid. Give Sarkisian another year. Give Sarkisian and Matt Ryan another year together. I don't know why they wouldn't. It's just confusing to me. It's just weird how we're so one-year minded. Like, we don't, like, a lot of people just overreact and we don't find the median between them. Like, Matt Ryan was not terrible last year, fantasy purposes. So why do we think he's going to get any worse with a healthy Julio, with another weapon in Calvin Ridley, and another year under his belt with Steve Sarkisian, and they're going to work together? When it's been proven that Sark is not a Kyle Shanahan-esque brain, but we've seen him talk. We've heard Matt Ryan say it took him a year to get with Kyle Shanahan and learn his system. And then after that, the trust is established. They have an understanding of what they want to do together. So I like that guy. I mean, I talked about Alex Smith before. He's going top 20. He was a top 10. He was a top 5 quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback every year. With his running game, with his arm. I mean, he's going late. If Jameis, I know I've bashed Jameis off the field and stuff like that, but if he comes back, he has so many weapons and he'll be a top 10 option. Like, there's so many options. You just have to bite the bullet for those first 3 weeks with Jameis. Mariota is going to be running more. I mean, he has his weapons. They're healthy. We don't know what's going on there, but there's a different offensive feel. Matt LaFleur, they're going to be throwing play action, and he's one of the best quarterbacks and running the play action. The offense is going to look completely different. They're going to be in the shotgun spread out. Mariota's going to be in places he's comfortable at. He's going to outperform this. Carson Wentz, if you think he's going to be healthy enough, he's going later. He's going in the ranked in like the teens. That's a steal. And Tyrod Taylor and Dak Prescott, Dak has no one to throw the ball to, but he has running upside. He has touchdown upside. Tyrod Taylor looked phenomenal in that first preseason game. He's looked phenomenal in camp. He's the true leader of that. he's going to be fine. I mean, like, the point I'm saying, Derek Carr is going to take a step forward. How big of a step? Don't know. And the reason I'm saying all this is because there's such, you can make a case that any one of these, like, a lot of these quarterbacks are going to throw for 4,000 yards. That's just the nature of the beast today. That's just the nature of the beast in the NFL today. How many of them, but are they worth a high draft pick when grabbing the top receivers and running backs is so important in fantasy football for season long leagues? How can you, I just don't see the reward in drafting a Drew Brees in round 5 or 6 because quarterbacks are starting to fly off the board when you can draft probably a Cam Newton or a Jimmy G or a Matt Stafford in round 8 or 9 and feel good, a lot better about your team in the draft capital. So a lot of people say wait for quarterbacks. I'm one of those people who would advise waiting as late as possible. Hold on till you feel it's your own draft. Like, if you draft Rodgers in round 4, you know, do you. That's when you're going to have to get him because that's just how good he is and how people view him. Brady's probably, right when Rodgers goes, I guarantee Brady's going to go. Right when Brady goes, I guarantee you Watson or Luck or Breeze are going to start flying off the board. And then that's when you can just take advantage of them. So we're going to leave that. We're going to the tight end position a little bit. Not the most popular position, but this is a position that isn't extremely deep per se, but you usually only need one. I'm one of those people who I've gone back-to-back picks with tight end and got double tight end flex, because with that flex position, you can go wide receiver, running back, or a tight end. If you take away two of the top 5 tight ends, that hampers someone else. So Gronk, talked about him. Kelsey, talked about him a little bit. Ertz, those 3, rock solid top 3. After that, Jimmy Graham's going to be the red zone threat for the Packers. Greg Olsen's going to have a bounce back year. I drafted him last year with high hopes, but he had a foot injury that really hampered his season. He was not a factor. Trey Burton for the Bears, coming over from Philly. We saw what he did in Philly when Ertz missed the game. He had 2 touchdowns. He's going to be playing in the Travis Kelce role, split out wide. Trubisky's going to be checking down a whole bunch, I feel like, and Burton's going to be taking advantage of that. Burton should be the number 5 tight end ahead of Graham. I really like him. He's shifty. He played a little H-back in college at Florida after he played quarterback. Love him as that. Jordan Reed's outside the top 10. If he's healthy, he is the third. He's the 4th tight end. So monitor his health in the preseason. I'll give you a quick update. I'll give you a quick Jordan Reed update. Let me Google it. He's not playing, but he's practicing in full, which is as good as you can ask for. Jordan Reed was the tight end is a focal point in Alex Smith's offense. If you look at throughout his career, Vernon Davis to Travis Kelce, those 2 have been fantasy, just upper echelon fantasy tight ends with him in the mix. So, and you have the Kyle Rudolphs, the touchdown reliant. Evan Ingram, people really love him. He's going to get a lot of work because he's labeled a receiving tight end, but he does have some skills. But he does have some blocking skill. He's going to be getting a lot with Odell back. He's going to be getting a lot of single coverage across the middle, or he can split out wide in the slot. Another red zone option. And David Njoku from the Cleveland Browns, really like him. Really like him. Tyrod Taylor loves his tight ends, and Njoku clearly has the skill set to do stuff. And then after that, it kind of slips. Jack Doyle, Eric Ebron, those 2 tight ends from the Colts, get them. We've seen, if you go back and look at what Jack Doyle did with Andrew Luck 2 years ago, it was pretty good. I mean, really good numbers. Andrew Luck's doing a lot of check down stuff right now. We know how Frank Reich's offense with the Eagles last year featured 2 tight ends. I like him. Hayden Hurst, the rookie from Baltimore, he's going to be making plays. Safarian Jenkins from Jacksonville, like him. Flacco looks for tight ends. Bortles looks for tight ends. Who else is there? Ben Watson. It's like, if you don't have a top tight end, it's pretty much just fine to match up and plug and play. You know, Mike Gesicki from the Dolphins, extremely talented. good reports coming out of them. He could be a factor for the Dolphins. Ricky Seals-Jones from the Colts, when he's healthy, he is really good, and the Cardinals really like him. And yes, they have Christian Kirk and a couple other people there, but Ricky Seals-Jones is a guy you should definitely, definitely look for if you're desperate for a tight end and take a chance on him. I mean, that's about it for tight ends. I mean, there's not that much you can look for besides the, I wouldn't mind if you draft tight end the first 4 rounds because it's such a not deep position. But if you, like I said, if you don't get one, don't panic. Just draft two. If you draft Vernon Davis, who's the second tight end with the Redskins, and Jordan Reed, and Reed doesn't play the whole season, and you just plug in Vernon Davis, that's still, those two equate one tight end. So if you draft Jordan Reed, make sure to draft Vernon Davis. 100%, that's perfect sense. So I'm going to just do a little, just hit on a couple fantasy notes, just quick hits, be in and out real quick. And then I'm going to move on to the Browns and Bills game. I'm going to take a little pause in the show. There's not going to be a pause in the show, but I'm going to, you know, just relax a little bit, go to work, and I'm going to come back, watch Josh Allen and Baker go back and forth, and then I'm going to conclude this podcast. So there's a couple names I just want to throw out there that you should draft. Stephon Diggs over Adam Thielen. Do that. Jarvis Landry, if you're in PPR, draft him. It's mostly receiver hits. Do avoid Brandon Cooks. I won't even touch a Rams receiver. 49ers, the receiver you want, Marquise Goodwin. Jordy Nelson, if he's number 45 receiver or after the 40, draft him. Even if you're high on Marquise Cooper, draft Jordy Nelson. He looks great in camp. You know what he does. Draft him. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. I can go all day with this. Danny Amendola, if you're in PPR, draft Danny. That's as smart a decision as you can make because he's clearly won out the slot position. He's not even ranked. You don't even have him ranked? That's really confusing. These CBS guys don't even have Danny Amendola ranked at all. Well, I draft him. He's gonna be the PP. He's gonna be the slot receiver for them. And there's a boatload of targets missing there with Jarvis Landry gone. I don't know why he went. I mean, that just makes sense for PPR purposes. So that'll be the last straightforward fantasy football talk I'm gonna talk about because there were some preseason games Friday night, and the main one was the NFL Network game. Had a lot of buzz coming into the game. Was the Buffalo Bills taking on the Cleveland Browns, you know, battle of two of the top three quarterbacks taken in this draft with Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns and Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. And neither of them started the game. And we're going to start on the Buffalo side of things where Josh Allen actually impressed me. And with AJ McCarron breaking his collarbone, which will put him out for a good portion of the season, everything's lining up for Josh Allen to get the start. So of all the rookies, we talked about Sam Darnold a little bit earlier in the podcast, and with all the rookies that are now being touted as starters, Lamar Jackson's going to sit, Baker Mayfield's going to sit, Josh Rosen's going to sit. It looks like Josh Allen may be the only one if Sam Darnold can hold off Teddy Bridgewater. It looks like Josh Allen's going to be the only quarterback of this rookie class, it's going to get a start week one. And I hate to say it. He looks pretty solid. I talked in the draft process about it in April, how I didn't really get around to watch a lot of Wyoming football games. You know, at this time I was living in Canada. I didn't really get a lot of college football games, and I don't really believe in the YouTube test because that just picks highlights. You can manipulate tape to show anything you want. So I didn't really get the best eye test of a Josh Allen. So I kind of felt hesitant in establishing a legit opinion on how he could play football. I wanted to watch him play a little bit, and I didn't really watch the week one game. I know he looked really sharp. That's what people said, and I take their word for it. So I look at that and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, why?
I know people said he has the arm talent's there, the athleticism's there, but the accuracy, he's never been above 60% completion percentage. He's not had a 60% completion percentage throughout his whole career starting in high school. So the accuracy's in question. And then I thought about it a little bit, you know, I give people the benefit of the doubt a little bit. At Wyoming, yes, he wasn't playing the best competition where he went to school, but he didn't have the best talent around him. And we can see, I don't really know the Wyoming coaching situation that well. And we see how much coaching and infrastructure matters around a quarterback's success. We'll take example for Jared Goff, and I'm not comparing. Who is it? Oh, this is gonna bother me that I can't remember. Brian Daboll, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. I'm not comparing him to Sean McVay of the Rams, but you look at McVay and the Rams and Jared Goff, something I talked about extensively before, is that Jared Goff looked like one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of football. His first 10 starts, 6 starts with the Rams. You plug in Sean McVay, you bring in 3 receiving targets, you bring in Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, draft him, you invest in your offensive line with Andrew Whitworth, John Sullivan, and you get a head coach that is one of the smartest offensive minds in football, and Jared Goff looks like Jared Goff makes a Pro Bowl, and he looks like he looks like the Rams have their quarterback of the future that they thought they drafted when they traded up a couple of number one picks, a couple first-round picks to get the number one overall pick in Jared Goff. So you see that example time and time again. You know, the Bears are hoping to do that with Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy. Who else is there? Colts, Frank Reich. You hope that turns Andrew Luck's career around if he's healthy in terms of not being a turnover-prone quarterback and taking what defense gives to him and stuff like that. And that's what – and the Bills have arguably the worst skill set and one of the worst offenses in football in terms of talent, but it's still a step up from Washington. And all I saw from him today was him making people miss in the pocket, him stepping up when the time's right, him keeping his eyes down the field, which is one of the most important things about a quarterback is you have to be able to maneuver the pocket and, you know, feel pressure and escape it. But you have to be able to keep your eyes on the field because that's what opens up for you to make the big play. And on his touchdown throw to Rod Streeter, evaded pressure, made a couple guys miss, but he sidestepped to his left, stepped forward to his right, then steps to the right and delivered a strike to Rod Streeter from about 6-7 yards out for a touchdown. Did a couple times. I know his yards per attempt. I got on Darnold's case in the beginning of this podcast about how, you know, I didn't like his yard per attempts numbers, but he doesn't have the zip that I saw from Josh Allen. Josh Allen had zip on his throws from those 6 yards. You know, those receivers had the ability to catch those balls. And that's one thing that people lauded him was for his arm talent, was for his mobility. He made a couple. There was another smart football play. And he's going to get applauded for this on tape, absolutely, as he should. 3rd and 1, 2-minute drill, 30 seconds left. Browns take away the receivers. He steps up, runs for the first down, and you can look. And it's really weird because you're NFL players. You're supposed to know everything. You're supposed not know everything, but you're supposed to be on your toes, supposed to understand situations along these lines. And Josh Allen's the only one who's saying, let's get up to the ball, let's spike. We have to get the field goal. So you see like 5 of the O-linemen, like their heads are like, whoa, okay, let's get on the ball. Spikes the ball, gets the points. That's the little things that, I mean, obviously, even if they didn't all rush to the line, there was going to be time, but those are little things where you practice good habits. And practicing the habit of, hey, you know, we have 5 seconds, get to the ball, and strike the ball, bam, that 1 second makes difference in a football game late in the day, when you don't have timeouts like they didn't have. And that's great awareness. And he should be the starting quarterback week 1. And I'm not sure how it's going to go when he's facing real defenses. And he's facing real coverages and real schemes and getting blitzed a ton. But I am really impressed with what I've seen from him. Especially my first time intently watching him. On the flip side, Baker Mayfield, you know, after that first game, over 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, that's all good. This game, 7 for 13, 70 yards, you know, just This was a perfect game of taking what the defense gives you. This is like a professional NFL game where he had pressure in his face. He was making a lot of people miss. He looked very nimble on his feet. He took a sack or two. But besides that, no turnovers. He didn't force the ball down the field. He made plays when needed to. He wasn't playing with the best. He wasn't playing with the ones. He was going up against twos and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things to take from this with Baker Mayfield, where, you know, maybe he didn't look as impressive as Josh Allen this game, but he's not going to be the starter. Josh Allen's in a situation where he's going to be thrust into the starter, and that pressure is just going to keep building and building as the season comes along because AJ McCarron's out. I don't think they're going to start Nathan Peterman, who has, although he has looked really good in his first two games, but that's tough to make a call where, I mean, you're the Bills. You know the season's a lost season. Why not give Josh Allen all the reps he needs? You know, that's what I would do. But don't mean to go back to Josh Allen, but Baker Mayfield, you know, he's still a number one quarterback. And then, you know, I mean, there's not a lot to take. The thing you take from this game for the Browns is their running game. And this was like, it's weird because you don't really game plan for opponents, per se, in preseason. But the Bills, after they traded Marcell Dareus to the Jacksonville Jaguars, they had the worst run defense in the NFL. And you look at the numbers, Carlos Hyde, 60-plus yards on sub-10 carries and a touchdown, looked phenomenal, running through tacklers, stiff-arming them. I think he's a great fantasy option for this team because he's going to be the number one player in terms of run game. He can do it all. He got a short end of the stick in San Francisco, and I'm looking at the San Francisco contract they offered Jerick McKinnon, who's never been a bell cow. And I know that the guaranteed money is different. It's not as crazy as it looks on paper, but it's not as crazy as it looks, you know, the year by year, the annual pay, but you probably could have got Carlos Hyde, who's a better running back than Jerick McKinnon, for a cheaper price on a hometown discount, someone who knows your system. But I don't know what goes on behind scenes there, but Cleveland got a player, and with Duke Johnson and Nick Chubb had 11 carries for 60 plus yards as well and a touchdown. He's starting to look a little more comfortable. Cleveland's offensive line got a nice push and stuff like that. Duke Johnson, 4 carries, 28 yards. Their whole team, their three-headed monster, average above 5-6 yards per carry. That's all you can ask for. You know, so if they can keep that running game strong, that's going to open up things for Tyrod Taylor, who I think, like I mentioned a little bit earlier, he's a great fan. He's going to be a solid fantasy play. He's a safe fantasy play week in, week out. You know, he's guaranteed about 18 to 25 points. And that's what you're asking for if your rest of your team can step up and, you know, not do their job, but step up and do their thing. Because Tyrod's going to run the ball. He's not going to turn the ball over, so you're not going to get those minus points. And it's just a lot of things along those lines. So we'll leave the Browns at that game. We're going to bounce on the NFL preseason Friday night slate real quick over these last little 15 minutes. So we'll go to another rookie quarterback in Josh Rosen. 10 completions, 10 for 16, 100-plus yards and a touchdown. Big step forward from what we saw in his debut game. Once again, yards per attempt, not as high. But Josh Rosen is like, you know, you're looking at the rookie quarterbacks, and it's kind of weird how it worked out this way. So you look at, besides Joe Flacco and Lamar Jackson, forgo that, the first four. But not even Josh Allen, he didn't have a mentor. So, but like Baker Mayfield, a great comp for him is a Tyrod Taylor, but Baker has more accuracy, but not as good as an athlete. But you know that they can both play a spread offense and stuff like that. Then you look at the Jets, Josh McCown. Darnold's a more talented Josh McCown. Josh McCown's an underrated athlete. He can make he can make a lot of throws. That's what Darnold is, underrated athlete, can make a lot of throws. And then you go to Josh Rosen, and the situation he was drafted in is Sam Bradford, where they're not the best athletes, but if you give them time in the pocket, they're going to pick you apart. And that's what we saw again from Rosen. He's not going to start. Bradford's going to get all the reps. He's going to get all the first team reps until he is not injured, because the Cardinals are kind of, I touched on this earlier, they're kind of a sneaky team to hang around, win 7, 8, 9 games, maybe even win that division, because the Rams are great, but I think they're due for a slight regression. The Seahawks are there. The 49ers, I don't think, are there yet. It's just weird. I don't know. It's just a weird division. I think that the division is being overlooked in terms of competitiveness, because the Cardinals, I said this before, Cardinals won 7 games with Drew Stanton's on the third string for Cleveland, and Blaine Gabbert. I don't even know where Blaine Gabbert is. So all of these things being accounted for. Rosen looks sharp. He's establishing a connection with Christian Kirk, the rookie from Texas A&M. Very talented deep threat receiver. A lot of speed. They connected for a touchdown in this game. I like that. I like those two. I think they're a strong pairing in terms of moving forward in the future with the right receiver quarterback combo. And, you know, watching the Rosen highlights, watching him playing all this stuff, and I'm it's just weird. It's just tough for me to think, you know, because I came into my preseason pre-draft rankings as Baker Mayfield 1, Lamar Jackson 2, Josh Rosen 3, Darnold 4, Allen 5. And for some reason, I'm watching Allen look a lot more athletic and confident than Sam Darnold right now. So I'm thinking those two are flipped. And I don't mean to be prisoner of the moment, but I was kind of blown away by Josh Allen, and especially comparing him to Darnold with that athleticism. I don't think he's at Rosen level yet, because Rosen is an accurate monster in the pocket and is just... Winner's not the word, but he's just like senile. He just seems like he's senile, and he just when he people I know a lot of it rubs people the wrong way. And he's like, you know, the 9 teams in front of me made a mistake. The 3 teams that selected a quarterback in front of me made a mistake. That's confidence. That's what I want to hear from my quarterback. What do you want him to say? Yeah, you know, I went up there and I'm really disappointed. I fell this way. But you know, come on, stop that. Rosen's confident in himself. UCLA is in the past. He had better player, obviously had a lot better talent than the Wyoming Josh Allen teams, but he was injured a lot, and that's the main concern with him. Is it's ironic as well, kind of like Bradford, can he stay healthy? Because if he can stay healthy, Cardinals have a franchise quarterback on their hands. So I could talk about the quarterbacks all night. We'll leave him at that. Move on to a little more other quick hits with this draft night. And that's a quarterback who is not a rookie, but in the Ben Simmons NBA Rookie of the Year mold, he probably could be a rookie. And that's Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. And he made the throw that that is just going to have everyone talking. And that is a 70-yard bomb, end of the half. And it wasn't a 70-yard bomb where it's a catch and run. This was end of the first half. Evade a couple of defenders in the pocket, step up, and with a simple flick of the wrist, a ball that traveled 70 yards in the air to Tyreek Hill got behind the defense. And that's the thing. That's the beauty of why I talked earlier about how Pat Mahomes is the most exciting quarterback in football already, because no one in the NFL can step up, maybe Aaron Rodgers, but no one in the NFL can evade a couple of rushers, step up, and with a simple flick of the wrist, out-throw coverage. Think about that. He outthrew 4 Atlanta Falcons DBs who had no idea, who did not think that Mahomes could sling the ball that far. And Tyreek Hill caught the ball, waltzed into the end zone 1 or 2 yards, and did a little torque dance. He got a penalty for, but you know, it was just so awesome to watch. He's going to be must-see TV. If you have Game Pass, throw on the Chiefs every time. That's how special and fun Pat Mahomes is. I you will not regret it. This was just a small taste. Chiefs pulled out a win. And, you know, looking at the statistics, Kareem Hunt 7 carries under 20 yards. I mentioned that. This O-line, this is going to be a team. Defenses are going to aim towards stopping Kareem Hunt. And this is going to be a team that Pat Mahomes is going to have to carry. Can he do that? I don't know. Will he be a absolutely locked for a top 10 fantasy quarterback? Chances are probably better than no. But, you know, we do not know. But is every single week going to be filled with highlights? Yes. Is he going to be entertaining as possible? Yes. Are you going to see 75 to 80 yard throws from this guy this season? 100%. If he can hone that in, like he was at Texas Tech, make the smart reads, know when to throw the ball underneath to Travis Kelce and let these guys make plays, because Watkins, Hunt, Kelce, and Hill, they can all make plays after the catch. That's why I think this offense is going to be special. And I think Andy Reid is the perfect coach for him to do this to, because if Reid can hone him in and say, hey, teams are going to honor your arm and respect your arm in terms of verticality, take the underneath route and 15 yards is just as good. And it's going to be a great litmus test for how they see, for how they see and deem the loss of Alex Smith, because I like Alex Smith in the short to intermediate route, and he started taking more chances down the field deep. But it's clear Kansas City is ready to open this whole thing up, and Pat Mahomes is the perfect quarterback to do that. So we'll move on from that game, and we'll go to, by the way, Matt Ryan looked really sharp in that game. But anyways, move on to the Panthers Dolphins, and the main story from this is there's a couple things. We'll start with the, we'll do quick hits Dolphins. Tannehill 10 for 17. Glad to see you. I think 14-17. Glad to see you go out there and throw that many passes. Good for you. Kenyon Drake, 8 carries, 58 yards. I think if you're drafting a Dolphins running back, Kenyon Drake is 100% the guy. Don't reach for him. Frank Gore is going to take some hits, take some carries and targets. Kalen Ballage, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Rookie from Arizona State, he's explosive. Dolphins seem to love him a little bit, even though Ryan Tannehill yelled in his face and stuff like that. So we'll see how they are moving forward. But the big story in this game was Christian McCaffrey. He had over 120 yards, including a 71-yard touchdown where he just blew past people on the ground. And to circle back to fantasy a little bit, if you have a pick in the third or fourth round, PPR especially, there's a 100% chance you should take Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be using the passing game. He's not going to be the bell cow, but he's going to get 20 to 25 touches a game. And I think that, yes, running backs can take the league by storm, but sometimes it takes a year just to figure out, catch up to the speed, figure out the angles you need to maneuver and stuff like that. And that's what I think. He's more of a receiving running back. He's going to be split out wide. He's going to be running slants and goes and all stuff. So you want a player who's going to be a running back who's going to be on the field frequently. That volume is going to be there. The efficiency is going to be there from the pass game, run game. He's just going to be a mixed bag of tricks. He's like Chris Thompson on steroids, a person I talked about earlier. Go ahead and draft him. You saw the break. If you saw the highlights tonight, you saw the breakaway speed. If you watch anything in college, you saw he has the hands to make catches and plays. So be confident in drafting a Christian McCaffrey. He disappointed you last year a little bit, but that's okay. This is a different year. They lost, and the main reason I say that is because the Panthers lost an offensive lineman. They're already starting to lose some with injuries. And you think, what's the best way to think about the Patriots? What's the best way to counteract a weak offensive line? Quick passing game, getting the ball out of your hands. Who is probably the Panthers' best slot receiver right now? Christian McCaffrey. You know, they have Curtis Samuel from Ohio State. Devin Funches is more of a body receiver down the field. Greg Olsen, he can do a little bit of everything, but, you know, coming off of a foot injury that cost him most of the season last year, I know that from owning him in fantasy, it's not the best thing. But anyways, he's going to be relied on, but there's not much else. Who is it? Oh, I'm going to look it up real quick. Is it DJ Moore? The Panthers receiver that... Yes, DJ Moore. The Panthers receiver that Steve Smith said is finally a straight-up replacement for him. He went to Maryland, and he is just a tough-nosed receiver. He gets open. He has speed, the quickness, the route running, the hands. He can do a lot of things, and I think he's going to be a viable thing. But Christian McCaffrey is still the number one option in the slot, which is saying something. So players like, just jump on it. These are the players that win you leagues. They're smart players to draft and bring into your team and stuff like that, especially in PPR leagues. So a couple minutes left. Just going to finish up with this. The Giants played the Lions. The only thing I take away from this game is Matt Stafford left the game a little bummed, a little injured. He got hit in the forearm. If there's one player I suspect to play through every single injury possible, it's Matt Stafford, who I have seen play through a torn shoulder, with a separated shoulder, and lead his team to a win. I think he'll be fine for the regular season. And I talked earlier about my appreciation for the Detroit Lions this year. So that's it for that. In terms of that game, coming up on Saturday night, Jags play the Vikings, which is could be a Super Bowl preview. You know, I'm not really high on the Vikings, but they're one of those top five Super Bowl favorites, the Jags as well. Super Bowl preview. Raiders, Rams, see how much they play. Bengals, Cowboys, 49ers, Texans. I don't think that much can happen. Bucks, Titans. That's going to be, I mean, Bucks fans, the lone blessing in Jameis being suspended for the first four games is he's going to get a lot of preseason action. So expect to see Jameis in for probably quarters two and three. Fitzpatrick will get a couple drives in the first quarter and move on to the second and third quarters like that. And then, so that's exciting. See if Ronald Jones can take a step forward. After that, Chicago, Denver, the rise of Chad Kelly, a player I really think he's now the certified number two quarterback for the Broncos. It won't surprise me at the end of the season if they're not doing well, they let Keenum go to the bench and they start playing Chad Kelly because that arm is phenomenal. You forget how much of a gunslinger he really was at Ole Miss and how he beat Bama twice. He's undefeated against Alabama, which is saying something. And the Saturday slate ends with Seahawks Chargers, which, you know, they have veteran quarterbacks. We'll see Russell Wilson in a little bit. Besides that, we're not going to see much. So, I mean, just Premier League soccer, Liverpool got off to a great start. Manchester United, I mean, all the big boys won. Manchester City took care of business. Kevin De Bruyne being injured for 3 months is going to hurt them. But with how much depth they have, it shouldn't be too big of a deal for them. So, we're going to leave it at that. And thanks for listening, guys. You know, we're here. I keep ending every podcast with this, but we're 2 weeks away from the NFL. Two weeks away from college football starting. 3 weeks away from NFL season starting. So, thanks for checking us out for another edition of the Fern Podcast on the Radio St. Pete Network. And make sure to check Radio St. Pete out on Instagram, Twitter, and the internet, everything like that. So, thanks, guys, and have a good weekend.